This one's the title song for the record. It's called Live Without Warning.
I've never been downhearted in the water for stone cast. Can we live without warning? I long to bury the past. In my time, behold the future. I can tell what's coming soon. Can we live without warning? Like there's nothing else left to do. Can we live without warning? Like there ain't nothing else left to do. Warning, like there ain't nothing else left to do. People talk about you like they know what they're talking about. That's not allowed. So long ago, she doesn't wait for my call. Haven't seen her in a while. I guess she knows I've got it all. Can we live without warning? Like there ain't nothing else left to do. Can we live without warning? Like there ain't nothing else left to do. You ain't looking very far. Is you you're looking into right behind those eyes. It's like some kind of secret, or it's like some kind of surprise. There's nothing else left to do. Can we live without warning? Like there ain't nothing else left to do. Can we live without warning? Can we live without warning? There ain't nothing else left to do.
This song is called Pedestrian Love Song. Kind of refers to the idea that a genuine love song might be the most difficult thing a songwriter attempts to write, and I'm not sure if this is a good one or not, but that's kind of why I called it a pedestrian love song. not love for pedestrians themselves, but maybe not a great love song at all. Here it goes. She came to me with an army of words, speaking in very general terms, with pronouns she can't live without. I never know who or what she is talking about. When she has nothing more to say, I love her anyway. He's working on his life like there's just 1 minute more, like waiting underground when they slide the subway door. She has a plan, squeeze the marrow out of bone. They sometimes wind up going it alone. They don't talk about it at the end of the day. And she loves him anyway. There are times riding in the car, he hits the brake wrong and sets her head ajar. You can feel the smoke as it's coming from her ears. She gets real short and he hides behind old fears. Why should he reply when he can walk away? Thinking of the pleasures of a dreamboat to the stars. Instead, I'm just a little lost, like a rover on Mars. But I get them signals and I process all the words. Turn away from the crater I was heading towards. Now that planet doesn't seem so far away, and I love her anyway. I played this song for her, she said the pieces didn't fit. You really need to keep working on it. Your songs of love hit me with the back of your hand. Why can't you write a song that says why love should stand? Then she stood up and kept putting things away.
So, Mr. Drastic, we've just heard sort of the acoustic side of your work, but if we go back to the previous two albums, Save the Machine, which was your debut, at least sort of in a big album sense.
Yes, 2011.
And then State of Denial, which is much more recent, and then into the new one, which is Live Without Warning.
Right.
Your sound is much, much bigger and more complex than what you've offered us in these two acoustic songs. So is your voice. What's been going on since that last album?
Well, I've been doing a lot of vocal training, and I wound up warming up all morning too to be here, and it makes a big difference to loosen and flex the vocal cords. It's surprising what difference the vocal training makes. So I am training with Stephanie Hatfield up in Santa Fe.
Who's no slouch in the vocals department, I would say.
No, she is not. And she really has whipped me into shape, and we do scales and a number of different exercises, and has provided me with a number of ways to warm up on the way to a gig. And that's what I was doing on my drive down here as well. So I think the reference to the sound itself, everything starts for me with an acoustic guitar. And then the sounds begin to present themselves in various ways through running it through Ben, who's our musical director, Ben Wright. And he has a way of feeling what the quality of the song might need just based on its stripped down bare bones acoustic version, whether it should go in a harder country style or whether it's a fuzzy guitar sound or what elements can be added. And I hear those things too, and I often bring to an initial session, a meeting of new song, new material, I'll bring some ideas about, I think this one might benefit from a lot of barrel house piano, for example, or this one might benefit from some heavy, fuzzy or very, very distorted guitars, for example. So then we build it from there and experiment with that, not in a very experimental sense. We pretty much hit it straight out and move the songs quickly in the directions that they naturally seem to want to go without. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the songs that we've been playing at KUNM is Send Him Back to Santa Fe, which is kind of a rolling Americana style song, but that's not the style that predominates in this album. I mean, there's a lot of different elements going on, and there's a song here. I'm always curious about what possesses a songwriter who's got a lot of fertile material in his own life to go back to, let's say, 1812, which is the source material for the song you wrote, 1812.
Yes.
Where does that come from?
Every year for the past 12 years, I've been traveling to Ontario, Canada, and I was doing some work up there. There's some lyrics that reference that in Send Him Back, too. And I wound up being missing Santa Fe a lot. But the 1812 comes from a guy I was working with on a roof or working on a cabin, and he was telling me the story about down the lake, Lake Huron. There was found by recently a hospital that was from the War of 1812. All that was left were the ruins, and they found these sections where they felt there were these bodies. And it was a hospital from the War of 1812. So I began surrounding that imagery and that kind of modern, being in modern times and then finding this to a story with regard to what it might have been like to be in that time in a war, and how horrible it must have been, Canada being very, very involved in central in the War of 1812. Part historical reference, and then, there's a lot of that in folk music generally, some in rock and roll. And I just think it's interesting. I think history is very interesting, and, in our own times and our own involvement as a country in endless war, which is always, anytime you want to turn on the radio, we can hear about this, and it affects our lives and it affects people around the world and our choices as a country. So I think it's a good way to be cognizant of not only the present, but how the past is impacting us now and the future.
Now, when it comes to recording that song, I mean, you're not trying to ape a folk song of that era or of that time. You know, you're not rooting your sound in the effects. I mean, there's no snare drum, for God's sakes. You know, you're avoiding all of those things in order to tell the story.
There's some elements we added, though. If you notice, there's a march drum, kind of like what you would, a fife and drum corps drum, brum, brum, that type of thing in the drum element. And then also La Cloche, which is the fort that was found, it was called Fort La Cloche, is French for the bell. The folklore is that there was a rock up on one of the mountains overlooking the lake, and the native people knew that if that rock was struck with a big stick or another rock, that it would make this echo sound that would travel down the lake, and they used it for communication. So just all these elements were, I found interesting, but we used a very big drum, if you can hear it, it's in the beginning of the song, to personify this bell. So it's a very deep, big gong sound that's very, very low-end sound. So we used some elements, but not typical folk-type approach. But we tried to, you know, there's the chorus of the song has a very British kind of marching sound to it. And so, anyway, yeah, I think that that song, to me, it's one of my favorites in the sense of its historical content and that we were bring it into, you know, modern rock, which is this record is a modern rock album.
What is modern rock anymore?
It's any rock, I suppose, that's being made now.